If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. Tonight, one of the Illini legends of the highest degree, Eddie Johnson, will be on. He is going to talk about what it's like to rebuild the Illini program and provide the foundation for today's Illini. He's coming up next.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. I say this every once in a while, but tonight is one of those really incredible nights for Illini fans. We have the immortal Eddie Johnson on, the man who had 17 years in the NBA, has over 19,000 points scored, of course, came from Westinghouse, was a Illini legend from 77 to 81, really was the group of players that really kind of rebuilt this Illini program that had been struggling so much since the late 60s, turned it around. And of course, he didn't stop there. He's been the Phoenix Suns color analyst since 2003. And you can hear him on the NBA Today show on Sirius XM. He's on with Justin Termini on that show. I listen to that show on a regular basis. Eddie, thanks for coming on to talk here on Eye on the Illini.
My pleasure. Anything in Illinois, I don't mind doing.
We appreciate it. For fans who don't really remember what it was like, can you describe, were you going against the grain when you decided to go to the University of Illinois, a team that hadn't been to the NCAA since 1963?
Yeah, you know, really, I would have to be honest and say, at that time, even when I was in high school, I wasn't really a big college basketball fan. Like, I didn't watch games. and I didn't, you know, go out of my way to watch teams play. I was just immersed in knowing that I had a lot of opportunities to go to any school I wanted to go to. And I just love playing basketball. And so I would spend most of my time on that basketball court. And so I was more of a people person in that respect. You know, I grew up in a single family household. My mom raised seven kids by herself. And so for me, at that point of time, as a young man, I'm looking for father figures. Like, if you were going to get my attention, then you were going to get it with your personality. And then I would, in turn, look at you like a father figure. And that's how Illinois got me. Tony Yates was the assistant coach then. He's the main recruiter. And then my relationship with him grew. And then just meeting all the other assistant coaches. And then finally, you know, Lou Henson. I mean, it was just a breaking point for me. It came down, believe it, between a couple of schools. I visited USC, but it was more of a, I'd never been to California kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when I went there, I liked it. I think Bob Boyd was the coach then. And I really liked it, but I just couldn't find myself going that far away from home. And so I kind of nixed them. I was very close to Ray Meyer and Joey Meyer at DePaul. They identified me when I was a sophomore.
Yep.
And I was going to their camps and everything. And the negative there, and I tried to explain it to Ray Meyer, man, it just didn't go. He was so mad at me. But I just did not want to stay in Chicago. I grew up in inner city, Cabrini Green. I wanted to stay close to home, but I wanted to get away. And I just felt like I wouldn't achieve everything I wanted to achieve if I had stayed there around friends. And so I decided I wasn't going to go there. So the last school was, believe it or not, I played over in the Albert Schweitzer games. I went to the Parade All-American game, played in the Albert Schweitzer games. And obviously I encountered all the top players. And one of the ones that gravitated towards me was Magic. And the reason why is because every time he threw me the ball, I made buckets.
Yep.
And he identified that I could shoot. And, you know, that's the kind of guy that he was. And so we went to Germany for about 2 weeks. And he spent that entire 2 weeks trying to convince me. I was telling him, I'm like, well, I'm very interested in Illinois. I think that's where I'm going. But, you know, he's like, Eddie, just come to Michigan State with me. I'm telling you, man, come to Michigan State. And all the way up until we landed back in Chicago, all the way up until we separated, he went his way because he had another flight to catch to East Lansing. He was on me. And he even called me after he got home. And it made it very difficult. But he didn't realize that I had already decided I was going to Illinois. My mom had already announced it at a banquet in Champaign, and he didn't know it, and I just didn't want to tell him. I was enjoying the attention he was giving me as well. But, you know, I talk about it all the time. And, look, I went to the right place. I had a great career at Illinois. I met my wife there. We just celebrated our 39th anniversary. There's so many great things that I know that was the place I was supposed to go. But I also know, as I tell my wife, I said, honey, I would have met you anyway. If I had gone to Michigan State and played with Magic, I would have met you. I would have came there and played and I would have saw you in the stands. But, you know, there's always the conundrum there when you think back and you think about it. But I wouldn't change it, man. I went to the right place, had the right coach. Lou Henson was unbelievable for me. He was honest with me. And so that was just my decision, man. And I didn't know about the history per se. I knew of Audie Matthews. I knew, obviously, of Levi Cobb because they had won the championship the year before. I knew about all of that. I knew about Neil Bresnahan because I played against him in high school and he just totally destroyed our team. when we played against them. But I didn't have any kind of like thoughts about it, or like, okay, I'm going to Illinois because of this guy, because of that. I went to Illinois because of the realness of Tony Yates and Lou Henson. And I just felt, for me personally, anywhere that I went, I was going to play. Like, I was going, because I knew what I could do on the basketball court. And that's just how it came about.
That is a fantastic story, because if you look at the what ifs, it would have been a nightmare to see you playing on that Michigan State team. Oh, goodness gracious, that would not have been fun. And people forget those DePaul teams were undefeated in the regular season
a couple
years in a row. You throw you on that team.
High school and teammates. My name is Mark McGuire and Skip Dillard, Bernard Randolph. We were all high school teammates.
Oh, that would have been scary.
And it was the plan. To tell you the truth, the plan was for us that we were going to go to the same school. And a funny thing happened on the way to that. I didn't play a ton as a freshman. And that scared the living daylights out of Mark McGuire and Skip Dillard.
Right.
And they decided not to come to Illinois. Tried to get me to transfer. I like, please, I'm not doing that. I know why I'm not playing. You know, I said, I understand why I'm not. I got to get stronger. And so, but yeah, Mark, it was every intention that Mark McGuire was going to come to Illinois and follow me. That was a given.
Wow.
He got some cold feet, and you know, and then he obviously developed a great relationship with Ray Meyer, as I had, and I think that's why he decided to go there.
Wow, there's a nugget that people probably haven't heard, that like you start thinking about throwing Mark Aguirre on there, and then you add Russell Cross not picking Purdue, and all of a sudden there's a whole new sheriff in town. The team kept getting better as you were at Illinois, and a lot of times in life, we don't recognize what's going on. Did you guys have any idea that you were building the foundation for Illini basketball that would take it to heights that it hadn't been since the 50s? Was that something you were thinking about, or is it just we're going out and playing and getting better and leave it at that?
No, that's what I was thinking about. I would talk about that all the time. I hate losing. And I understood that Illinois didn't have a hugely winning program. Our first year wasn't a good year. And, you know, I encouraged everybody. I pushed everybody. We made a commitment. We stayed on campus that off season. And to get better, I had to get stronger. You know, Lou Henson looked at me and said, Eddie, you know, you a good basketball player, but it's hard to play when you're always on your back. And it was an insult, and I think he meant it to be an insult, but he was correct. I wasn't strong. I was 185 pounds, 6'7", and Neil Bresnahan, Levi Cobb was just knocking me, Ken Ferdinand, knocking me, Audie Matthews, Tom Gerhardt. They were knocking the stew out of me. And I just, Coach Kroll, who's a weightlifting coach at Illinois, I told him, I said, you know what? I'm going to live in the locker room, in the weight room with you. I said, he will never say what he said to me again. And I made a commitment, man. I mean, I stayed there in the summertime, had my little job I had, and I was in the weight room. I was in the gym throughout that entire summer. And I came back, I was about 215, 218, maybe 220. And I was telling guys, no, we're winning this year. We're going to have success, man. We ain't come here to lose. And that's exactly how it played out. And I showed back up, and Lou Henson saw that, you know, I had really changed my game and got bigger. And I remember him telling me, he said, Eddie, you will never come out of a game in Illinois unless you raise your hand and tell me that you're tired. I've never had a coach say that to me after. I mean, to have a coach say that to you, you don't think I'm not going to try to run through a wall for this dude? Like, yeah. And we pushed and we worked hard and we got ourselves in a great position. Yeah, I mean, we had success. during that season, but it just cut short quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good time to be an Illini fan. You could see it being built. Now, with all of us, we talk about the shot that you made against Michigan State.
Uh-huh.
Beat them. And I swear, I know at least 50,000 Illini fans who were there. I have no idea.
100,000.
I remember I was sitting at home in Muhammad watching it on Channel 3. But fantastic, fantastic shot. What were your thoughts going through your mind? That was probably the first big time matchup that Illinois had been in for decades. What was going through your mind as you took that shot, and what did you think the rest of the season held for you, obviously without an injury coming on?
Yeah, it's people really get enamored with that shot. And I always tell people, it's like, When I was between the lines as a basketball player, every level, when I first picked up a ball, fell in love with it at 13. Between those lines are, it's a safe haven, but it's also a combat haven. Like, the strong survive. And people always talk about pressure and all of that. And you know what pressure is? Pressure for me was getting up, going to grammar school, and having a different route to school every day, because the gangs were always going to at least try to rob me, try to recruit me, try to jump me. You grow up in inner city, like, that's pressure. Like, pressure is when you see your mom working one job, your dad's not around, and she's gotta, go make money to put food on the table. And you're wondering if you're going to get a meal that night. That's pressure. Like, playing basketball was a release. Like, that was like where I know that I had control. And so for me, once I fell in love with the game, I never ran away from wanting to take that shot. I did it in high school. And if Lou would have let me as a freshman, I would have done it. I think sometimes he took me out of games because he knew that I was going, if I caught it, I was going to shoot.
Yep.
And in that situation, after that timeout, he drew up a play. I wasn't even listening to that damn play. I walked out on the court. I said, Steve, give me the ball. Steve Lanham, give me the ball. And that's exactly what he did. He drove right. I knew Greg Kelso would help. And I just got my separation. And when I caught it, please, I don't care if Derek Holcomb, Mark Smith, any of them was wide open for a dunk. It did not matter. In my mind, I thought they'd have missed it.
Yep.
I knew I could make that. Like, I knew 100% I could make that shot. And so that has always been my mindset. So it was surreal when it went in. And everything after was just surreal, right? Because we beat the number one team in the country. Now, granted, we had ego because we were top five, I think.
Yeah, maybe even two, yeah. Time.
Yeah, like number two. And so we probably would have taken over number one if we didn't let Ohio State come in there with them grown men they had and beat the stew out of us the next game. But, we felt like we could beat them. So, yeah, I was happy. But I wasn't shocked. So I up until this day, I still can't get over, like, the craziness about the shot. I really can't. Like, now, it's not disrespect to everybody that lived it and they feel that way.
Right.
But for me, I felt like we could beat them. Like, it wasn't like I was shocked by it. Like, I felt Mark Smith could D up Magic. I wasn't shocked by that. Like, it's just, so it's a little different, it's almost like, I forgot that movie where, all this one incident happened, but they had different views from different angles of what happened, right?
Yep. Yep.
And that's me. Like, my view is totally different than everyone else's, but I really appreciate everybody still remembering that shot, though.
Now, did Magic ever give you any grief later on for
all the time? He just gave me grief a couple of weeks ago.
Good.
He was in town speaking here in Arizona, and he and I are good friends, and I definitely want to go hear him speak. And he talked about it for 3 minutes.
Good.
Yeah, in his speech. Yeah. So, no, he has not forgotten that, without a doubt. Yeah. He felt that we were a very good team. He tells me that all the time. He, like, they respected our team at that particular point in time because we did have a lot of good talent.
You know, that was a beautiful time for Illini fans. Made it into the NCAA in your senior year. Got to the Sweet 16. I mean, fantastic times. When you look at what Illinois basketball has become.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And you look at the foundation that you guys laid, is there ever, like, you get a feeling of, like, satisfaction that we had a chance to lay the groundwork for what everything else is built upon now?
Without a doubt, because Chicago has been a very difficult place for, you know, Illinois to recruit. So, yeah. And I still, to this day, I don't understand it. But Illinois had a tough time, you know, in their backyard, getting all the great players that have come through Chicago. And I knew about that. I knew the history there. And at that time, a lot of coaches telling me, you know, why are you going there? You know, go to DePaul, go here, there. And so I heard those voices. And yeah, so, you know, to be able to leave from Chicago and go down there and have the success that we had, and be able to put ourselves on the map, was something that was huge. And yeah, I felt like, you know, look, Audie Matthews started it. Okay, let's give it to the guy that started it. Audie Matthews started it. Levi Cobb and Neil Bresnahan took the next step. And then I felt like I took the step after that, you know, because they hadn't had, I think, a parade All-American come there and stuff like that. So I got that attention. But, you know, those guys made the first step. And then I came there, and then an avalanche of guys started to come there. So I feel proud about that. I do. And also feel proud that I stuck it out. Like, even when I was at the bottom as a freshman, and I was sort of like, you know, embarrassed, so to speak. He's an All-American, can't not even get in a ton of minutes and all of that. I knew how to get better, and I knew what I needed to do. And I'm glad that Lou did what he did.
Yeah, well, I mean, it resulted in a 17-year NBA career, over 19,000 points, sixth man of the year, 1989. Were you ahead of your time in terms of out there understanding the lethality of the three-point shot?
Yeah, well, you know, look, and I'll say this. I could shoot the three, and it was a mini weapon for me in regards to if I got hot, I'd take it. But, you know, the mid-range game was always my baby. You know, the funny part is when I got drafted, okay, and like, I felt I should have been a top five pick, in my personal opinion. And I proved it as a player. Because if you look at my stats compared to all the guys that went in the 1981 draft, my numbers are up there with the top four or five. Longevity, my numbers, the success I had, all of that. And so when the draft hit, I was hearing all these things about, well, he's undersized. You know, is he a power forward? Is he a small forward? You know, and I'm saying to myself, like, these guys see me play. Like, I posted up. I shot from outside. If they had a three-point line in college at that time, I probably would have had the most threes. I mean, like, what were you watching, right? So that was a disappointment that, you know, I didn't get drafted higher. I went 29th in the draft, which was a sixth pick in the second round. But you know what? It was the best thing that happened to me, I believe, in regards to the longevity part, because I like to prove people wrong. And I just felt like, my destiny and my determination was that, like, I proved Lou wrong. I wanted to prove them wrong. And Kansas City had two first round picks, and they took two players before me, and they drafted me in the second round, and I outperformed those two players. And so, yeah, it was a goal for me to prove people wrong. And I thought I did that. But you know, guys that know me, people that played with me at Illinois, they played against me. The one thing they always tell you, and it's without a doubt, I was committed, man. Like, when I tell you I was committed, I was committed. Like, when I went to Illinois, I went there for one purpose, to get a degree. It wasn't to make the NBA. It wasn't, because I didn't know. But it was to get a degree and use that free scholarship to get it. And if I become a good basketball player along the way, so be it. But they'll tell you, first in the gym, last to leave. Competitive in everything, whether it was sprints, whether it was anything, on the court, anything. But they also would tell you I was a good teammate. And those things, I don't know. They were ingrained in me. That's how I look at it. And so I wasn't shocked that I got a good opportunity to go to the league and survive. You're given the chance. And that's what I got. And basketball was easy, man. I like to shoot. I like to score. You know, I left Illinois with both of them. All-time leading score and rebound. I left with both. And trust me, it was a guy at Illinois that could have put it to test. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Mark Smith.
Yeah.
You know, was everything for me. Mark drove me. If you want to ask me what players pushed me the most to be great and to succeed, it was him, because he was the best teammate that I've ever had.
What a 1-2 punch. We'd always debate who's better, Mark or Eddie.
He was better. I'll tell you, he was better. I don't hesitate to say that. Like, he was a better all-around basketball player. I was a better scorer. I think you know, he and I were, you know, we were both good rebounders. I was a little bit better rebounder. He was a great defender. He's a great ball handler. He could pass the ball. He could do everything. And here's my Hall of Fame moment again. What are you waiting for, Illinois? Like, what are you waiting for? Put the man in the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't understand what you're waiting for. This is Eddie telling you. Okay.
Right.
And I'm not saying to you, I'm saying to Illinois and all the fans out there. He was the best all-around player at that school. I don't care. Put up anybody. From defense to passing to scoring, he was the best all-around player. It's unfortunate that his decision-making wasn't good. He was immature at times, without a doubt. And it cost him his life. But as a basketball player, that's where he should be judged. In Illinois, you got to put him in the Hall of Fame. That right there is the one thing, man, that bothers me about my school. Because I'm telling you, other players are saying, what is the delay? Put the man in because he deserves it. I mean, it's just ridiculous why they're taking this long.
Yeah, and fans grew up enjoying the heck out of him because he was a wonderful player. For folks who want to win a trivia game, Kansas City took Steve Johnson, who I remember a forward center, power forward center from Oregon State. They took him with the 7th pick. And I have to be honest with you, Kevin Loader, from Alabama State was, so I don't even remember that guy. So if you want to win a game of trivia, Illini trivia, there's just keep that one in your back pocket because it's bound to come up. The two Kansas City guys who were drafted ahead of Eddie Johnson. So yeah. Maybe I could be an NBA GM. I'm starting to feel more confident in my skill set when I read that. So you had a heck of a career, over 19,000 points. There are, 30 players maybe who've scored more points than you in the NBA. A very rarefied air there. How do you compare the NBA of today versus, let's say, the 80s and 90s? And I'm going to throw in one thing here. I hear a lot of comparisons. I hear, and this is not about Michael Jordan and LeBron, but I hear a lot of things that Michael Jordan would score 40 a game if he played in today's game because they don't play defense. And I also think that just that progression of human beings, they seem so darn big, fast, and strong nowadays that maybe that would make up for it. But how do you compare the two eras of the modern NBA to the era that you played in?
Well, it's two different types of players for sure. Players are, I don't know if they're stronger. I never ran anybody as strong as Buck Williams in my life, man. I don't know. Artis Gilmore could pick you up with one finger. So I don't know if they're stronger, but I would like to say that obviously it's more athletes in that regard, but that doesn't mean they're faster. Because these guys don't run. They just run from three-point line to three-point line.
Yeah.
You ran from baseline to baseline. So it's not like, you know, the main difference, I think, is just the style of play. I think, obviously, science has helped them. So if we had the science that they have, it would be quality right through it. I don't think it would be any difference. Defense, look, Michael Jordan would average 40 with these rules. With these rules, he would. Okay, now, if those guys were able to hand check like they did back in Michael's day, then he probably would just average his 30s. But with these rules, where if you turn and you face a guy and he can't touch you, I would have averaged 25, 26, 27. Yeah. Like, in the 30 minutes I played, like, I averaged 22 and only played 27 minutes 1 year. So, in a hand-checking career. So, the way they have to defend in today's game is just crazy. Like, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Like, they can't touch you. You have to, it's just, you got to try to stay in front of guys. And that is very difficult to do. So it is some tremendous defenders based on how they have to guard in today's game. Oh, without a doubt it is. But a guy like MJ, guy like Kobe, guys like that can get a mid-range game. DeMar DeRozan, he'll play till he's 40 and score 20-something. That gives you an example. So, you know, like, if you can't touch a guy, it's just hard to guard.
Yeah.
That's all I would say. And so the eras are different. You know, this era, they tend to put down our era more than we put down there. And I think that's part of the argument that goes back and forth. As J.J. Redick, the new Laker coach, said one time that it's plumbers and firemen playing back then.
Yeah, I saw that.
Jerry West eviscerated them for saying it. Like, if you didn't grow up watching it and playing it, we have an ability to know that how we played back in the day and then see how you play. These guys today didn't have that ability. They got to go on YouTube and hope to find video. So I think we are in a better position to really dissect both eras than they are. But yet, the Draymond Greens of the world and their podcasts and all these different things, they want to try to dissect us. And I'll just say it's silly to me, because Draymond wouldn't be Draymond if he played in our era. No way. Have you seen Draymond Green have a literal fight on the floor yet?
Not like what he would do if he ran into the Pistons.
If he ran to Charles Oakley. Yeah. If he ran anybody back in that day. If he drop kicked Stephen Adams. You think if Stephen Adams was playing back in our era, what do you think would have happened to Draymond Green for drop kicking him in the private area? He probably wouldn't even be playing now. Stephen Adams is one of the strongest individuals probably on the face of the earth. But he knows you can't fight because the fines are too high. Back in our day, they wouldn't even kick you out of games.
Yeah.
So it's that difference, right? And so you just try not to, you know, they want to compare errors and all that. And to me, it's just, it's an ever-ending argument. But these players today, they are very highly skilled. Without a doubt. But I think to the point overly skilled, meaning that they dribble themselves out of a position that they gain back into the position where they're guarded. It's just, you get, you know, in today's game, you know, people want to give you points for your dribble and making people fall down than actually making the basket. That's the part that drives us crazy.
But it's a fun discussion to have. I have three sons who are between 28 and 21, and they are just so certain anybody from the 80s and 90s couldn't play in today. And it's an interesting, the youth looks at it very differently than the
old. Well, we couldn't play. And you know what you should tell them? No, I couldn't, because now if it was a league where I can stand still and shoot, I'll shoot anybody just like they think they can outshoot me. But if you told me to run, I can't.
Right.
Okay. Because I put in my time. So, yeah, okay, it's easy for them to say that right now. It's polarizing. It's on TV all the time and all of that. So I get it. I have no issue with it. But I'm one of them ones on my radio show, SiriusXM NBA Radio, 5 days a week, people that want to check it out. You know, 1 to 5, well, it's 3 to 6 your time. All we do is talk NBA. So I encourage people to check it out.
Yeah, the NBA, it's on the NBA station, which I'm blanking on the number right now, but it's the
86. It's channel 86.
Yeah, channel 86, and it is 3 hours of nothing but NBA, and
NBA. And,
And Eddie's partner, Justin Termini, has the superpower to be able to disagree with Eddie on the color of the sky and how far the sun is from Earth. I think
he only does it because we're in different places. Okay.
Yeah. I get a kick out of it because I'm like, how can you possibly disagree? Oh, he did it. So, everybody's got their God-given gift and he disagrees with things that are not.
He doesn't even have kids and he tries to tell me about kids.
Yeah, I would encourage people. It is a very good show. I would, in all honesty, tell you it's the best show on NBA radio, and I do listen to it. It's an easy number one. How did you decide to go into broadcasting?
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Because when you look at it, Illinois has been blessed with some excellent players, yourself, Derek Harper, Steve Bardo, who have went into broadcasting. How did you make that decision to go from a player and that intensity and preparation for playing, and then go on to describing and being able to paint that picture for people as to what's going on the court?
It wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy decision for me, but I knew, I believe in being, you know, in segueing yourself, and that's something that was taught to me early on. I worked every year since I was 14 years old. The years I was at Illinois, I worked in the summertime, every summer, and I worked all the way up until the draft, and even after the draft, I worked. Until I actually went to Kansas City to go to training camp. It's just something that's been ingrained in me to just, you know, to work. And give me a question again. I got overboard. I got off.
I just want to know how you decided to go into broadcasting.
Yeah. Right. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to segue. And I segued in the NBA. I started doing TV. I started writing, to tell you the truth. I started writing in Seattle for the Post Intelligencer while I was playing. It was like a daily diary, and it was me doing the writing. And then when I went to Houston, I decided I wanted the WNBA had just started. And Jerry Colangelo, I told him that I'd love to call the games and work on my craft. So I went to New York and did a couple of internships the year prior to that. And then when the WNBA inaugural season started, I was doing games. And so during the off season, I finished my season and then go right to the WNBA and traveling with them. and calling games and building my tapes. I still didn't know if that's what I wanted to do, but I wanted to have that resume in case. And then, you know, the funny thing happened. Obviously, I liked the idea of coaching, so that wasn't out of the realm of thinking. And so when I did retire, I got a call from my good friend, Isaiah Thomas, and he had just got hired to be the coach of the Pacers. And he pretty much begged me, "Hey, come help me. I want you to come to Indiana." And I had just retired. My kids were in middle school. I couldn't. They gave me a great offer. I truly believe if I had taken that offer and I followed him and done that, I think I would be coaching in the NBA. I would never probably have done TV. But I think I made the right decision because I was able to spend time with my kids. And I just got into broadcasting, man. Jerry Colangelo hired me. I did ASU game. I did ASU game for you. And then Jerry Colangelo called me up and said, "Hey, job is open," you know, and I took that job, and that was 25 years ago coming up this fall. It is no way I thought I'd be doing TV that long. But I enjoy it. I wasn't a talkative guy in school. If you talk to any teachers out of Illinois, they probably thought I just couldn't talk. Just wasn't one to be very vocal, very quiet, believe it or not, outside the court. And I just said, you know what, I want to do this. And lo and behold, it's been 25 years. And so now, you know, my radio show and doing TV, doing public speaking. I talk for a living. And everybody that knows me can't believe it because I just didn't seem to be that kind of person.
Yeah, that is a great story. Who did you have as you were broadcasting the games? Did you have any broadcasters that you put up on a pedestal that you're thinking, I want to be as good as them? Was there anybody that was a role model?
A lot of mentors. Newby Brown was one. Doug Collins, talked to him. Bill Walton, very good friend, just passed away. Steve Jones, passed away a number of years ago. Those are some of the guys that I would talk to. Greg Kelser, who's been doing Detroit Pistons basketball for a long time. I believe that's how you get better. As you talk to people, you find out how they call games. And through all my conversations with them, I developed the way that I call games. And obviously it's worked. They haven't gotten rid of me.
That's spectacular.
We had three owners in that process, which is amazing, right? So from Jerry Colangelo to Robert Sarver, now to Matt Ishbia, I'm still employed, which, you know, normally does not happen when somebody has that many changes. And so I'm definitely blessed that I'm still doing it and calling games at 65 and actually looking for the point in time. It's I'm very close to calling it quits and just enjoying life and traveling and hitting that golf ball, which I love to do.
Well, good thing Ishby is probably not old enough to remember your shot against Michigan State and hold it against you.
Yeah, you know what? That's one. I'm going to bring that up to him. Yeah, that is true. Because he has a lot of Michigan State alumni that work for him. At his mortgage company and obviously a number of them that work for him with the Sun.
One final question here before we go. I know your travel schedule is probably impossible to get back and watch Fighting Illini basketball because of all the games that you have. Do you have any thoughts on what Brad Underwood is doing with the Illini basketball program and how he's kind of rebuilding that Illini program and trying to get it back up to that heights of what it was back in the 80s?
Well, yeah. I mean, recruiting process is obviously key. Like I've said this time and time again, man. I think anybody that's been around basketball, studied basketball, whatever, you can get them a chalkboard and they can design a play. Right. I mean, really, you can pick up a book and design a play.
Yep.
But the key thing is getting all those players to believe in what you're drawing. That's it. Like, people want to act like, you know, and coaches do this more than anybody. They want to like, oh, it's so complicated. Eh, please. No, it's not. The only complicated thing about coaching is getting players to acquiesce and do what you need them to do. Now, you remember, I mean, Phil Jackson came in and talked Michael Jordan into being a part of running a triangle offense, which was a college offense. No team was doing that. But he talked them into doing it, and it turned into six championships because they accepted it and they did it. And so for me, you know, a college coach's responsibility is one, to be able to go get players, be able to walk in living rooms, be able to go in there and convince them to come to your school. And I'm not talking about three stars, okay? I'm talking about five stars.
Yep.
I'm talking about, like, five stars. Like, when you're at a major university, go get five stars. And I want to see that improved on them. I want to see them get to the point. They're in the backyard of Chicago. Like, I want them to be able to start going to get five-star play. You know, and you're only getting them for 1 year.
Right.
It's not like, and he's only on campus for 6 months. So basically he wants to what? Be prepared to go to the next level. So if he's going to be prepared to go to the next level, get coaches on that staff that have been at the next level to give those kids like an ear. So when that kid is like struggling, oh, just an example. Oh, that's Deion Thomas. Oh, that's Kenny Battle. They played in the league. Like, that's what Calipari did at Kentucky. If you see all the Kentucky players in the NBA right now, now they should have won more titles. I agree with that. But still, like, that's what I think about. I just want to see that improve. I do. I want to see the recruiting aspect improve. And then the motivational, especially when times are tough. Yeah. Look, I tweet stuff out. Illinois fans see. So I'm not going to run from it. Was I upset a couple of years ago? We let a bunch of old men beat us? Because yeah. We got stubborn and wouldn't adjust? Yeah. Yeah, I was. Because they got blown out the next game. Okay. Was I a little upset when I saw the way we got beat up this year with a chance to go to the Final Four?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hear a comment, well, we're going to keep guarding them that way. We're going to keep attacking. Which I know he didn't mean.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I know he didn't mean. I would like to think he said something different than that. But right. The fact he said, like, no, make the adjustment. Klingon is freaking Wilt Chamberlain in there right now. And he's playing volleyball with everybody. Let's get to the Final Four. So, and it's not personal. I think a lot of great things that he's done. Okay? Without a doubt. But I'm going to voice my opinion. And if you don't like it, you can call me.
You're never one to run away from it. It's all basketball. You have to do is, yeah.
It's basketball.
Yeah.
Like, no, like mistakes were made. And we could be sitting there with two titles. Just those two things. Because we had that Illinois team that lost to Loyola. I thought that team to me was better than any Illinois team. In my opinion. That the way they were playing. And I just was so disappointed that they lost. And then last year, I just felt, man, you know, that's a tough Connecticut team without a doubt. I understood that. But defensively, we did a good job in the first half. Just couldn't score. And that was debilitating. But, you know, I just think the recruiting has to step up. And then that takes the responsibility out of his hands a little bit in regards to having to be too strategic, right? Because you got extra talented players out there. And am I disappointed that we just lost two of our good players? Yeah. Like, how does that happen? Like, is it just the NIL? Like, how do you lose two guys that can play a huge role for your team next year to another school? And then lose one to a freaking, to my best friend in the whole world? You know who that is?
Yes, like, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Really? To lose him to him? Come on. Like, that part disappoints.
Yeah, it's, to me, some of this just goes to timing. You've got guys going in different directions, and you're waiting to see if you're going to go to the NBA draft, and coaches have to at least protect themselves. I thought that Will Riley, the first five-star in quite some time for Illinois, offers opportunities, and I also think Kasperis Yakusionis, both those guys are in the ESPN first-round too early draft mock for next year. I'm not certain that we'll see two guys be one and done, but I will say that both of them on film look very, very talented. The guy I think people are really sleeping on is Morez Johnson, who back in 2021 at Illini Guys, we actually thought he was a five-star back then. And at 6'10 and 240, he plays with an intensity that is reminiscent of the 80s. Plays defense, goes after every rebound like it's his, and God help you, if he might take somebody's arm off when he's going for a rebound if you're not trying to get that ball. So I think it will be very, very interesting to see a team go from older and very experienced to quite a bit younger this year.
Hard to beat these sophomores and juniors that staying around because of the NIL money. And so I was, you know, so that's part of it too.
And I think that's what he's setting up for next year, because the team is young enough that in theory, if you've got enough NIL money, you should have that opportunity to get some consistency. Certainly you're seeing Purdue is going all in on, we're going to recruit these guys and take it all the way with them. Very similar to what Clemson's doing in football.
What Mark Few has done forever. But I just,
right.
You know, a lot of schools are going for the, you know, the older players, and they're paying them. And I just think the paying part is going to win out.
I'm not gonna argue with you.
When you're offering a 19, 20-year-old kid, you know, $1 million or $500,000, and now they can ride around campus in nice cars. You come on.
Eddie, and I'll tell you, I'm all for getting the money to the players, because to me, the product is we're going to watch.
They need to pay back. No, what they need to do is go back and pay the ones that they should have paid.
Right, right. I'm with you. I'm with you there. But I do think it's interesting, because I look at it as a no talent guy, and I keep thinking to myself, if I could have found a way, you know, obviously it wouldn't have been athletically, but if I could have found a way to somehow earn a $500,000 to $3 million over the course of my college career, you know how hard it is, because you were in the NBA. You know that, what, 2% of college players make it into the NBA, and then how many can stick longer than 3 years? I do think it is so good that these kids could come out of college, and if they never make it in the NBA, they still might have some money to get them a great start in life. And to me, that's what I don't like the free agency version of it very much. Sometimes that's hard as a fan, but at least I'm like, okay, at least these kids come out of school with something that could make a life a little better.
All I would say is the moment that they stop these coaches from running around when they're under contract, then go talk to the players. Until they start to control coaches who recruit kids in there and sit in their living room 1 year, and they're up and out the next year for money, don't want to hear. I don't want to hear them complain about players leaving and players jumping teams when they have jumped teams notoriously. And I don't want to hear about, well, that's my job. And bump your job, man. Like you just said, his kids in school, they don't have a dime. I'm going to tell you right now, when I went to Illinois, I will tell you, Tom, blue in the face right now, they didn't give me anything. I didn't ask for anything. And the reason I didn't ask for anything, because I had a brother that went to Texas A&M. He was one of the top players in Chicago. And I saw him fail because he always had his hand out. And you could talk to those coaches in Illinois. I'm telling you, if Lou Henson was live there, he ain't give me nothing. Zero. I didn't ask for anything. I didn't want it. I just wanted to prove myself. But a lot of nights, I went hungry. It wasn't for a guy named Arnie Yarber, who used to have po' boys, barbecue,
yep.
Okay? All right? If it wasn't for him, every now and then, just give me a plate, okay? So that's how I survived. And so, you know, it's a lot of kids that commit themselves to a school for the coach. Coach up and leave. That's why I got a problem with Bill Self. To this day, I have a problem with him. Because I knew where he wanted to be. He wanted to be where he is. And he used us as a what? Launching pad.
Yeah, but you know, the other part of that, and I agree with you, but the other part of that is the athletic director at the time was always patting himself on the back for not paying Bill Self as much money as he could have. And maybe if you'd paid him a little more, maybe he wouldn't have left, or maybe you would have made it hard enough.
If you coached at North Carolina, you going to North Carolina. I don't care where you are. If you coached at somewhere else and you connected to Duke, you're going. I get it. I get that part. But I didn't like the fact that don't use Illinois as the, like,
the cat's paw.
They're like, boom, oh yeah, I'll wait here, but I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that mentality. Like, Lou Henson showed that. Like, no, he was there. You know? And that's, you know, and then he went back to where he started just because he didn't have his job. But no. That part kind of irritates me. But I hope I'm going to always be an Illini fan, whoever coaches. But I'm going to always offer my criticism. I wish I can get back for more games. When I retire, I will be back for more games.
I want to be there the night that you're back. Trust me.
When I retire, I will be back. Yeah. And I'll be a little bit more vocal and maybe involved in whatever aspect. I will come back. But I just have not been able to.
Yeah.
But from afar, I am very supportive of my school. And I pull for them in every sport. The football team showed improvement this year. I just want to see a championship in that school sooner or later.
Yeah.
I got it with the Cubs. I got it with the Cubs. I got it with my Bears years ago. Now I'm just waiting on my school.
Sweet. Well, hey, with that, we just want to thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. I know Illini fans don't get a chance to hear from you enough, and we appreciate it when you've got some time and you can talk Illinois sports and some other things with us.
Yeah, I converse with them on Twitter. Some of them get mad at me, but, you know, once in Illini, you're always in Illini. That's
exactly.
How
exactly.
No hurt feeling.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Eddie.
Okay, take care.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
Thank you so much for listening or watching tonight. We greatly appreciate that. And of course, a huge thanks to Eddie Johnson for finding the time to come out and talk to us. That was fantastic of him. I know he has a very busy schedule, even in the off season. If you enjoy what you heard, go to IlliniGuys.com and register. $99 a year. You can become a member. And as a subscriber, you get all the stories. You get everything first. And most importantly, you get the message boards that you can go back on. You can look for posts from Brad, Ted, Matt, Larry, myself. You can get friends with other Illini fans, go back and forth and debate things. Eddie's opinion tonight that Io and Kofi that year that got upset by Loyola is the best Illini team, that's one that people will argue. But that's what we like to hear is people saying, well, you know what? I think the Flying Illini were the best. No, I think the 83-84 team that got robbed at Kentucky's the best. No, I think the 04-05 team with D. Brown and Darren is the best. Now we've got another contender in there. And of course, Marcus Griffin, he will tell you it was his era, the year that they got 960 fouls against them in the NCAA with Bill Self, that's the best. So there's a lot of debates going on. You can get in there and argue your point of view as well. We'd love to have more people jump on over. If you go to YouTube, IlliniGuys.com is our channel. Make sure you subscribe there. That way you'll get everything as we release it. It's very convenient. And if you can stomach watching me and Brad and Larry, well, if you're tough enough to do that, then you should be able to watch our videos. In the end, we love having you here. Thank you so much. And until next time, go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.